in order to advance to the next. And so many times we have to take the veil off and be honest with ourselves. Say, be honest.
Be honest.
See, a lot of times folks ain't honest.
Amen.
Now, I am ever aware of this in my life because I certainly want to advance and grow and develop. And every time I start thinking or meditating on that line, it seems like God always shines a spotlight on me. And in order for me to advance to the next place, I've got to make sure that I've done everything properly where I am. Now, I'll tell you a little story to illustrate this purpose. I remember years ago when my wife and I first moved back to Erie, I moved into my brother-in-law's house. He worked for GTE at the time and was transferring to Tampa, built a new home down there. He said, why don't you buy my house? I said, well, I don't know if I want to buy it. I said, but I'll live in it. I'll rent from you for a little while. So I moved into the house. It was too small. I didn't like the neighborhood. So we eventually didn't buy the house. But I remember that when we were there, my brother-in-law had left some stereo equipment that he wasn't going to take with him. And he said, Bill, you can, you know, I'll sell it to you. What do you think it's worth? And I knew what stereo equipment was worth. I said, I don't know, how about $300? He said, deal, yours. You know, he said, just pay me when you can. It's a dangerous thing to say to people. Just pay me when you can. And so, you know, I'm getting on my feet, getting a job, getting everybody established in the family. And I remember a year went by. Nice stereo, too. And I was using it. And my brother-in-law, Mike, would come up from Florida, and I'd say, hey, Mike, how you doing? How's the family? You blessed? Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I think, you owe him $300. And I'd say, hey, Mike, about that stereo. He said, ah, man, just pay me when you can. And I thought, whoo, glory. So I didn't pay him. Next 6 months, I'd see my brother-in-law, Mike. Mike, how you doing? I mean, this is my brother-in-law. He married my wife's. We had a double wedding. We got married. I mean, we're tight. We're close. I'd see Mike all the time. Mike, how you doing? Mike wasn't concerned about no money. So if he wasn't concerned, I wasn't concerned. And so finally, I got to the point, and what happened was, you know, I'm struggling financially. I'm struggling. And so I did this. I took the veil up. I said, God, what's going on here? How come I'm not advancing the way I should financially? And you know what the Lord revealed to me? You owe your brother-in-law $300. I ain't doing nothing for you until you keep your word. That's all he had to say to me. Next time I saw Mike, boy, I beat a path to him, had the check. Now, I had the money the whole time. But he said, ah, whenever. I thought, praise the Lord. Well, that was wrong. I wrote that check, handed it to him. Mike, man, here's your money. And when I finally gave it to him, I knew he was glad to get it. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, man, thanks a lot. You know, you can tell sometimes. See, I know Mike. Oh, man, thanks a lot. That means this is overdue. But you know what? I wrote that check to Mike, and things started changing in my life, and I went from one level in my financial experience to another level. But I was stuck because there was something that I needed to do, and my word was out there. And my brother-in-law's just trying to be nice. Oh, man, whenever, whenever, whenever. And so I said, okay, amen, I received that, whenever. I should have wrote him the check the first time.
Amen.
And honored it. Soon as I did that, things broke loose for me. Are you with me?
Amen.
But in order for me to get to that next level, I had to make sure the level I was in was glorious. And it wasn't. It wasn't because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Can you all see that?
Amen.
So from glory to glory, not mess to glory, but glory to glory. As we behold ourselves with an open face, that means unveiled, the Holy Spirit now has something to work with so that we can be changed. Now, the word changed here is a Greek word, metamorpho. And it's a compound word. The word meta means exchange, Morpho means physical appearance, and it literally means to be transformed or exchange your physical appearance. We find this word only four times in the scripture. Twice it refers to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 and in Mark chapter 9. But the other place this word metamorpho is found is in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, where it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed," how? "By the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So to be transformed means to literally allow the Holy Spirit to change your appearance. Now, I'm sure when I wrote my brother-in-law that check, I started to look a little different to him. Are you with me? And he loved me anyway, even if I never would have paid him, but that's just not right. And so the Holy Spirit wants to transform us from where we are now into something else. And it literally refers to physical appearance. Meta, exchange, morpho, physical appearance. If you're familiar with computers, there's technology out now where you can morph an image. Y'all ever heard that before? M-O-R-P-H? Morph. That means you change it from one thing to another. Computers are neat. You can do stuff like that. But God desires us to change. Now, how do we do that? Through the Word, by renewing our mind, changing the way we think, but also by looking into the mirror of God's Word with an unveiled or open face. That means we have to take an honest look at ourselves. Now, in order to do that, you have to ask yourself some questions. Now, here are some of the questions that we need to consider. And I'll go through these. There are only six, but some of these seem a little harsh, a little tough. You know, it's never, and that's the problem many times with people, is they don't want to face up to reality. Okay? Don't want to take an open, honest look at themselves. See, for a lot of folks, everything that's wrong with them is somebody else. You know, it's the man. We never have figured out who the man is. The man, this one, that one, you know. The man's keeping me down. You man got a foot on my neck. And I'm like, okay, you know. I know what you mean, the system, the culture, whatever. See, but many times we can change things if we'll look at ourselves. Because I have news for you. If you're born again, you have the life of Christ on the inside of you. There's nobody on the planet that can stop you from running your race except you. Amen. You're the only one. Nobody else can stop you. Amen. Devil can't stop you. Folks can't stop you. World can't stop you. If you'll apply your faith and run according to wisdom, run according to the Word, devil himself can't stop. I don't care if he's right in the middle of your path. Mm-hmm. He can't stop you. Mm-hmm. We have to remember that Jesus defeated the devil. He is a defeated foe. All we have to do is enforce his defeat. Amen. Amen? We're not called to fight the devil. I realize we wrestle against principalities and powers, but they're already defeated. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Jesus already defeated the devil, so he can't stop you from fulfilling your race. The only one who can stop you is you. And many times it's by not looking into the mirror of God's Word and being honest with yourself. So here are some questions we need to ask ourselves if we want to go from glory to glory. Number one, have I done all that the Lord has asked me to do right now? That's a simple one. Have I done everything God has asked me to do? Now, I'll tell you, years ago when the Lord was ministering to me about coming back to Pennsylvania, you have to keep in mind, I was in ministry at a church in St. Louis that was growing and thriving. I had a good job as a pharmaceutical rep. I was in the gum and mint division, but, you know, company car, expense account, you know, worked Monday through Friday, could do all the ministry that I wanted. And I remember one day I was driving back on Route 3 in Illinois, coming from Red Bud, Illinois. And the Lord had been tugging on my heart to come back to Pennsylvania. I'm like, man, I just left the place. What do I want to go back there for? I really don't want to go back there. The only people I know there are my relatives, my wife's relatives, but man, St. Louis is nice. Hey, y'all like to eat? St. Louis has some beautiful restaurants. You could go a different place to eat every night of the week. It was fabulous. Just fab. You want to go to a baseball game? Easy, right downtown. You want to watch football? Of course, back then the Cardinals stunk like they still do. We didn't want to watch. You know, but there was always something to do. Great place. Big airport. You could fly all over the world. It was super. I had a nice job. I'm flying all over the place. It's great. And the Lord's tugging on my heart. I want you to go back to Pennsylvania, back to Erie, back to Erie, back to Erie. Well, you know, God can speak to you sometimes, and sometimes we try to put the mute button on, you know. Lord tells you something. I didn't hear that. Yes, you did. And I'm driving up, heading north on Route 3 from Redbud, Illinois. Had just visited the Walmart, took care of all their gum and mints, you know. And I remember it was a two-lane road, and this is mainly corn-growing country. You could see for miles. And there was an old station wagon in front of me, and there was a crossroad coming up. And I want to get back to St. Louis, so I put my foot on the gas. I'm moving pretty good. And I remember this old station wagon put the right turn signal on, and he was going to turn right at the crossroads, I thought. And so I got into the other lane, and I'm going to blow right past this guy. As he got to the intersection, and I'm coming up on the inside, he turned left right in front of me. Lord, have mercy. You ever hear people talk about your life flashing before your eyes? Well, my life didn't flash by my eyes, but it seemed like everything slowed down, you know, and it happened in slow motion. And I hit that wheel, and the car went sideways, and I missed him. Now I'm headed off the road into a cornfield, so I hit the wheel this way, and now I'm fishtailing, and I'm fighting to stay on the road. And while I'm doing all this mental gymnastics trying to keep from crashing, out of my mouth came these words, Lord, I'll go. That's what I said. Lord, I'll go. And afterwards, after I got control of the car and my heart rate slowed down, I thought, all right, Jesus, I know you told me to go. I'm going. See, I know it costs you when you're out of the will of God.
Amen.
It never costs you to be in the will of God. It always costs you when you're out. And I knew right then that God had spoken to me, and I hadn't obeyed him. I hadn't even started to obey him. But in that moment, when I realized I better get my priorities in line real fast here, I ain't got time for no mess, it just came flying out of my spirit, Lord, I'll go. And I thought, my goodness, some people live their whole lives that way and don't obey the Lord until death is staring them in the face, and many times it's too late. But thank God for his grace. Amen? Y'all always hear me say that God's grace and his mercy endure, for I always talk about the grace and mercy of God. He saved my life on 3 different occasions. That was one of them. But I made a decision. Okay, Lord, I'm honestly looking at my life, and I'm not doing what you told me to do. I make a decision right now to change. Amen? In spite of all the other stuff, Lord, I'm going to do what you told me to do. So that's the first question we have to ask. Have I done all that the Lord has asked me to do it right now? Number 2, have I really completed the assignment that God instructed me to? Many times we can get involved in other things in life, in ministry, and they may be good things. They may be things that somebody else is doing successfully. That does not mean that that's what you're supposed to be doing. Are you with me? We make a mistake and we copy other people. We need to find out what God wants us to do. Now, great, we can use other people as models and as examples, but you need to do what the Lord told you to do the way he told you to do it. Amen? Number 3, have I done it professionally and on time? Many times people do things in their life and for the kingdom of God, but they don't do it with excellence. They're sloppy about it. Just throw anything together, you know, it'll work. Well, it might work for you, might work for your husband, might work for your wife. Really, it doesn't. What you're really doing is showing them how much or how little you really care about it. Are you with me? See, sometimes it hurts to look at ourselves in the mirror. Because you don't like what you see.
Amen.
Well, if you never look, you're never going to change it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I know this is not a good shouting message, but it's
all
good
right.
Anyhow.
All right.
Amen?
Yeah.
You know? Hey, there are times I look in the mirror like, whoa. Hey, got to take care of that. You know what I mean? I don't want to go out of the house looking like that. Hey, but at least you took a look. Amen?
Amen.
So many times you have to examine yourself. But whatever you do in life, whether it be in the natural realm or whether it be spiritually, do it with excellence. Don't do it with a half attitude. You know what I mean? When you look at the Old Covenant and you see how they ministered in the temple of God, you find that these men were, we talked about this when we were starting our series on prosperity. These guys were glorious in their appearance. They were glorious in their attitude. Doesn't mean you have to wear a suit and tie to church. You don't. But whatever you do in life, do it with excellence. You know what I used to do years ago? I used to go into department stores, and if I went in, and I found this to be true, if I went in with jeans and tennis shoes on, tennis shoes and a t-shirt, it was hard for me to get service. You know, they thought I was another hood rat. You know, you ain't gonna waste your time on me. So I started going to the store. If I needed to buy something, I wore my jacket and tie like I just left work. And I'd go in with dress suits. Man, everybody would hop right to it. They don't know if I own the place. They don't know. They don't know who I am. But it looked important. I got better service that way. Just a little natural thing. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I think back years ago about Catherine Kuhlman. One time she had something done and had a little flyer printed up, and they had some spelling errors in it. And so they delivered all these flyers to Sister Kuhlman, and she said, "This isn't right. There's spelling errors in here." And the meeting was later that night, and she had her assistant office manager call and say, "You didn't do this right. You need to redo it." And the guy's like, "Oh, yeah, just go ahead and use those, you know, and I'll give you a discount on the next one." If I'm not mistaken, Sister Kuhlman called the guy up. She said, "Listen, do you realize who we work for?" He said, "Huh?" She said, "I represent the Most High God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his best for us, so we in turn give our best to him. Would you send this flyer to a dinner where the President of the United States was speaking?" "No, you wouldn't. You're not going to do it with me either. Get it straight." And he did. But she did everything with excellence. That's why some people don't go from glory to glory, because they keep things messy where they're at. And God has lots of time. He'll wait. Mm-hmm. Amen. He's got eternity. He'll wait on you. You're not going to bother him staying in your mess. He'll sit there and look at you. But when you make a decision, take that veil up and honestly look at yourself and make a decision. "I'm going to correct some things so I can move up to the next level." Then he'll be there to meet you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has eternity. We don't. That's one way to look at it. Number four, have I made my present financial situation glorious, or am I living in financial shambles? That's an area where you have to take an honest look at yourself. But you know what? A lot of people don't like to do that. I saw a show not long ago, and this woman had said, "Well, you know, me and my husband, they got, you know, three too many vehicles and living, you know, just barely making it." And the wife said, somebody asked the wife, said, "Well, how much do you owe?" She said, "Well, I really don't want to say." "Well, you're never going to pay it off if you don't know." She owed $140,000 on credit cards.
$140,000.
And the guy said, "Well, I can help you. At least you know where you're at. But if you don't know where you're at, you're never going to get out of it. And it's not going to get better by itself. Are you with me? You need to address it. You need to do some things." So she was willing to take up the veil. He set out a financial plan, sold some of those vehicles they didn't need, and they started working themselves out of debt. But many times, if we don't honestly look at where we are, we will never be able to make a correction. Can you all say amen?
Amen.
All right. Here's the next question. Number five, have I done everything I can do to make this present stage of my life a bright and a shining example to others? Have I done everything I can to make this present stage of my life a bright and shining example to others? Or is part of my life a failure? Am I failing in part of my life? If you are, you need to honestly evaluate yourself, and the Holy Spirit is there to help you rectify that situation and repair it, put it together so that you can make it glorious. Are you all with me?
Amen.
All right. And number six, have I brought this stage of my life to a glorious conclusion? In other words, have I done everything I can do in this area or stage of my life to bring glory to God, to walk in excellence, to be excellent myself? I remember years ago, I moved my family to Oklahoma, and I was obeying the Lord. He told me to go to Bible school. financially. I'd done everything I knew how to do to get ready for it. I had to trust him. I had to put my faith out there. I quit a great job to go do it, but that wasn't even a concern. I knew I was obeying the Lord. And I remember it seemed like the whole time I had Goliath in the back seat while I'm making this 1,000-mile trek. And when I finally got to the place where I was supposed to go, you know, your emotions are spinning, your head is spinning, it's a new place, a new thing. And people often fear the unknown, what's new. That's why people don't like change. Sad thing is some people would rather sit and die where they are than change.
Amen.
Because they're afraid of change. Well, if I'm on a ship that's sinking, as much as I don't like change, I'm getting out of there. Are you with me? If it's change or die, I'm changing. Amen? That's in part why that came flying out of my mouth in Red Bud, Illinois. Lord, I'll go. I'm not so stupid, I'm not going to change. But some people are that way. You know, it reminds me of the four lepers. You know, they say, hey, why sit we here till we die? Let's change. Do something. You know, we go over there with the Christian folks. They're all starving to death. You know, let's go over to the enemy's camp. Maybe they'll keep us alive. And God magnified their steps, and they chased the enemy off. But they made a decision. Why sit we here till we die? Let's change something. Are you with me?
Amen.
So things will never change in your life until you make a decision to change them. Now, when you examine yourself like this, the truth sometimes is painful, but you got to remember the pain is short-lived. And it's far outweighed by the process of changing. And when you make that decision to change, when you're honest with yourself and you're honest with God about your actions and your attitudes, then the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Are you with me? And if you're willing to remove the veil from your eyes and let the Holy Spirit really show you areas where you need to be transformed, He'll work with you. Amen?
Amen.
He'll work with you. Okay. That's all I'm going to do. I think that's good.
Amen.
Glory to glory. Not mess to glory, but glory to glory. That means that we have to take an honest look at ourselves and be willing to change. And the Holy Spirit many times will show you areas where you need to change.
Amen.
And I never will forget that time when I was struggling financially and I'm like, God, what's going on here? He said, Mike, and that $300 you owe him, that's what's going on here. He showed me where I needed to make an adjustment. Well, guess what I did? Wrote the check. And many times that's what we have to do. And I just use myself as an example. It could be finances. It could be somebody you need to forgive. It could be the way you run your life, the way you manage things in your house. It could be a lot of things. But if you're honest with yourself, the Holy Spirit will show you those areas. And you know what? When He does that, He never does it with a baseball bat. You know what I mean when I say that? He's not going to beat you over the head and say, well, you haven't done this and you haven't done that. Look at you. You're never going to do what God wants. Blah, blah, blah. No, that's not God. That's the devil. Are you with me? But He'll show you areas where you need to make improvements. And you make a decision. Lord, I'm going to change some things. Lord, I'm going to correct some things. And He'll jump in there and help you do it.
Amen.
He'll jump in there and help you do it. But when it's all said and done, and you've made that place of your life where you exist right now glorious, then the Holy Spirit will take you up to a different level. You will always have some challenges in life.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
You will always have some challenges in life. But it's sort of like, you know, getting out in a stream with a rowboat. How many of y'all ever did any boating? Get out there with a rowboat. Sometimes when you're out there with a little rowboat, you're going upstream, man, it's a lot of work keeping that boat in the right direction. But if you do everything you need to do, God will equip you. And next thing you know, you got a little motor in the back. Zzz, you know, fire up that little motor. Zzz. Now going upstream is a little bit easier. But if you'll be faithful with it and do everything you know to do, next thing you know, you'll have dual engines back there. You know, you fire it up. Ooh, now you get up the stream a lot quicker and a lot faster. Then pretty soon you'll have a captain driving your boat. You with me? Big old boat where you push a button, boom, and everything starts moving. See, but if you can't handle a rowboat, you're never going to get to a cabin cruiser. Amen?
Amen?
Can't handle a rowboat, you probably will never have a double engine thing. Somebody asked me the other day if I was interested in motorcycles. I said, not really. You know, He said, why? I said, well, you know, I know it's a lot of fun. A lot of people do it. I don't have time for motorcycles. I said, and to be honest with you, the last time I was on a motorcycle, it wasn't good. He said, what happened? I said, well, I got on a bike, you know, didn't have any rear brakes. And so for those of you who've been on bikes before, I pulled up to an intersection and hit the front and rear brakes. Rear brakes didn't work, but the front sure did. Right over the handlebars. I flew off that thing, hit the street, and rolled right in front of traffic. Thank God people weren't driving fast. And I got up, dusted myself off, picked up that bike, and I said, well, that's enough of that. That's enough of that. To this day, I haven't been back on a motorcycle. Now, am I afraid of motorcycles? Not at all. It's just I don't care to ride one. Amen. Let's all stand. I'm glad you guys have a sense of humor. Amen.